Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
CNBC's Big January continues with the JPM Healthcare Conference, the Amex Golf Tournament, Inauguration Day, and the World Economic Forum in Davos. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
I was listening to the Star Wars soundtracks.
It's working! It's working!
Sometimes that's just all I want to do is listen to Star Wars music.
Hello there.
General Kenobi.
Master, the Chancellor is very powerful. You'll need my help if you're going to arrest him.
For your own good, stay out of this affair.
I was so engrossed in my Star Wars.
I sense a great deal of confusion in you, young Skywalker.
I forgot the football game had started and was like, uh-oh!
Server Anakin! I have the high ground!
No!
Are you sure this thing is safe?
It's not really a Star Wars weekend, but now I'm thinking about it.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I'll say it. Not even Star Wars can hold a candle to the Olympics over the last 2 weeks. They were tremendous. And now that they're wrapped, I feel like the spirit, the crowds, the atmosphere, the energy, the excitement, really the star power of these Paris Games, they delivered on the scale of what I was used to when I was a kid. I really enjoyed watching them, but it's not just about me, obviously. It's also about the fact that the ratings and the TV viewership were sky high, and the majority of people, even with the Peacock option, where every event was broadcast live, even with the other networks that you could use, USA, E, CNBC, those, where you could also see events as they were playing out, the numbers show that the majority of Americans watched in the prime time. Prime time in Paris, that's how they build it. And it was taped, obviously, because the events had been over for hours and because the athletes, if they were competing the next day, were in bed or were partying, one or the other. Speaking of that, did you see the Team USA party following the gold medal?
I saw Devin Booker leave the club on a bicycle.
Oh, man alive. Did the men's basketball team enjoy their gold medal celebration? But we'll get to that. And so, yeah, the primetime viewing, it was taped. And yet, that's where we got the majority of our Olympic moments. Except for the weekends, of course, where it fits so perfectly to be able to watch some of the events live. Noah Lyles in a photo finish at the 100 meters has got to be one of my favorite moments, mostly because of the delayed gratification and the fact that it took about 30 seconds, three times longer than the actual race, to determine who had won in a photo finish. That one we saw live. We saw a lot of the basketball and soccer from the weekends also live. Or for those of you who are awake in the early to mid-afternoon, well, then you were able to see them live during the week, but that's not my sleep schedule. So I actually watched most of the basketball games on tape delay or most of the events in prime time because of my sleep schedule. Unless, of course, we're talking about the ones that aired while we were here in studio, which is kind of fun. People gathered around their TVs and they watched in the evenings. My mom, who will be in New Jersey by midweek. Yes, mom's coming to visit for the first time in 3 years. She watched on Peacock, so they don't have cable anymore. She got Peacock for a month and she watched in prime time when she couldn't catch the events live, though she did enjoy some of them live. I think the gymnastics she watched live in the afternoons in Houston. But then she went to visit my brother's family for the last week, and they watch the Olympics every night. And just trust me when I say, my family are not huge sports fans. This is not what they do in the evenings. Went to a Red Sox game on Saturday with my hubs, who was sporting his Astros hat. Oh, dear. and cheering like he's their biggest fan. Rolled my eyes at him. He enjoyed the four home runs and the win for the Astros. That was a really exciting game, and it was a lot of fun. We did enjoy it. Bunch of Astros fans there at Fenway. Anyway, went with a high school friend of mine who is the opposite of a sports fan. Trust me. She downloaded Peacock or ordered Peacock for a month just so she could watch the Olympics. So this felt more like the Olympics that would bring people together like they did going back to the 80s, the 90s, even the early 2000s when they were all the rage. And it's pretty neat, even with all the political dividers, the cultural, the language, the various ethnic boundaries and barriers that so often divide us, that globally we seem to come together to support our athletes, to support our teams, and really just to get involved with these higher profile events. Good morning to you. It's a Monday post-Olympics. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence at A-Law Radio. I did share a photo from my seat at Fenway Park. And also, I've told the story a couple times, but I'm going to tell it again because it was great. On Saturday afternoon, they showed highlights of the American men in Paddy winning gold in basketball and Steph Curry coming up with another fourth quarter that was vintage Steph. They show a little bit of the celebration and they announced that Team USA has won the gold and beaten the French, and the place erupts in cheers, and then loud chants of USA, USA. I got chills. I was, of course, yelling myself. But it dawned on me that I haven't been in a stadium where chants of USA have erupted in years. I think the last time, and I'm not saying it doesn't happen, only that I've not been a part of it, the last time I remember that is when I went to a World Cup qualifier. Oh, the year that the United States did not make it. Oh, stake in the heart. Yeah, it was awful. Anyway, yeah. Still seemingly stuck in that same pattern. One step forward, two steps back for U.S. men's soccer. The U.S. men's national team, not the one that went to the Olympics. Good for them. That was the under-23 team. And so I really enjoyed seeing and hearing baseball fans get so excited about the basketball gold medal and the chance of USA. So I was all about it. And boy, if there was an event, or really a team in these last two games that were able to generate excitement, not that we didn't enjoy seeing LeBron and Kevin Durant, Joel Embiid, who got booed even on the gold medal podium, not that we didn't enjoy seeing these stars, but in the Olympics, until the semifinals, they were not pushed. It was too easy. We didn't get them digging down deep, playing some gritty defense, feeling that sense of urgency. We got more of an all-star affair. I mean, yeah, they played defense, kind of, but it was just one highlight reel moment after another. They are capable of that. These are the best players in the world. But against Serbia, when they were down by 17 and had to rally, and against France, where they were pushed, we got the best of this team. And we got the best of Steph Curry. And so this has got to be one of my favorite Olympic moments. Steph finally winning gold.
Back to Curry, dancing on Batum, over the double team. Get it in for Anthony Davis. And for the fifth consecutive Olympics, the United States of America is golden. They defeat France in back-to-back gold medal games, 98-87, the final in Paris.
That was an unbelievable moment. I've been blessed to play basketball at a high level for a very long time. I don't know. This ranks very, very high in terms of the excitement and the sense of relief getting to the finish line.
Sense of relief. Actually, what Steve Kerr said is that there is likely no other nation in the world in that feels the pressure of silver being a disappointment.
I think we might be the only team in the world whose fans are ashamed of them if they get a silver medal, you know, and that's the pressure that we face. But our players, and you saw Steph, they love the pressure. They appreciate this atmosphere, and they were fantastic.
Yeah, this is Steph Currier. Steph Currier, oh my gosh.
Yeah, Amy.
Hello, Monday morning. It started already. This is Steph Curry. Warriors, that's where it came from. Curry and Warriors. Steph Curry, vintage Warriors NBA Finals. That's what this is. Steph rising to the occasion. But did you hear him say relief to get the job done? And then Steve Kerr as well, getting interviewed on NBC, both of them, in the wake of the gold medal game. How about the numbers, the math for Steph Currier? That was on purpose. The math for Steph. Yeah, this is Steph Currier. Okay. Are you serious? It's not like people have forgotten it. It happened 30 seconds ago. Thank you, Manny. Have I mentioned that you're not getting this job? I'm just teasing. Okay, so last two games for Steph. I'm so glad he's happy. When Steph is happy, it feels like sports are a better place. 29 games in the first, 29 points. Now I'm all flustered. Don't cut that one up too. Manny's got me off my game. Well, Monday's really got me off my game. 29 points in the first four games combined. Stop laughing in there. He's howling like a hyena.
I'm sorry.
Behind the double pane glass. Okay, sir. Nope, it doesn't matter. I was going to say you can get out here and do it, but I'm actually not going to give you my microphone, so you're not going to get out here and do it. I will regroup.
A lot of Yankee propaganda.
That's something that you will never turn my show into, as in ever. 29 points in the first four games total. In the semis and the final, 60 points for Steph Curry, 17 of 26 from deep. And it's kind of funny to hear him talk about, too, the preparation that went into this for him and the fact that he had more time to prepare than a lot of the others.
So anything you sign up for, you know, any mission that you take on, like, you give everything you have. So these last, well, for me, we missed the playoffs. So I've been preparing for a long time. But these last 5 weeks together with this group, it's been nothing but 1, 2, 3 gold. That's all we've been saying. So for us to finally accomplish that, for me to get, you know, a gold medal is insane. And I thank God for the opportunity to experience it.
For me to get a gold medal is insane. This is Steph Curry, greatest three-point shooter the NBA has ever seen. 4 NBA titles. He's played in 6 NBA finals. The dude's got awards and all-star appearances and world renown fame. I mean, he and LeBron James got by far the largest cheers when they were out there on the podium. And he transcends his sport for so many reasons. He's a great ambassador for the game of basketball. First Olympics, only Olympics, he thinks. And the only goal was gold. And it would have been okay if Steph didn't play the way he did in the last two games. But I'm so glad that's not how his story ended. And that's not what we'll say about Steph. Like, for instance, and this is not a knock on Jason Tatum. Jason is one of the best players in the NBA. He is an NBA champion. He's 27. Always go with your first answer. He will likely have more Olympics appearances in front of him. But I don't think that he and Tyrese Halliburton had quite the same approach to being part of Team USA. Did you all see the video where Halliburton was talking about how he did nothing for this gold medal?
When you get an A on the group project, then you didn't do a damn thing?
Yeah. So he goes viral because he's joking about it. Doesn't care. Still has a gold medal. But he was essentially describing himself as the slacker on the group project who does nothing and still gets the A. Now, that's not true, of course. He would have loved to be out there. But I don't think he and Jason Tatum had quite the same perspective. Of course Jason wanted to play. Of course he wanted to be part of it. And I'm not Steve Kerr. I'm not the coaching staff, which featured some of the best in the country. Eric Spoelstra, Mark Few of Gonzaga, and then Ty Lue, right, was also on the coaching staff. they're amazing. Collectively, that is a great basketball brain trust. I don't know why Jason wasn't part of the plans. I get that he and KD play a lot of the same position, but it's not like they would have been losing something, nor would they have not gotten to the gold medal game if Jason didn't play or if Jason had played more. He's going to be part of this in the future. Maybe there's no more LeBron on the Olympics. Although, I tell you what, the fact that they're in L.A., there's something to that. Kevin Durant's going to want to play again in L.A. Mark my words. And so a lot of these guys, they're older. It doesn't really make much sense to me. I feel like there easily could have been a role for Jason, and he would have handled it well. But there's no way that he feels like he earned the gold medal. Does that make sense? The NBA championship, yeah. Blood, sweat, tears, heart, soul, mind, body, spirit. In this case with Jason Tatum, and really for any alpha male athlete, they want to play. They want to be part of it. That's why Tyrese is saying, I just kind of was a freeloader with Team USA and I get a gold medal.
All expenses paid trip to Paris too.
Yeah, and so for Jason, I can imagine that for what he really wanted was to play, and the gold medal may not feel like he earned a whole lot of it. And I don't know if Steph would have felt that way, considering this is likely his only Olympics. He said that. Maybe regardless of how many points he scored, he did start, right? So there's that piece of it that Jason Tatum didn't have, which, by the way, so did KD in the championship. I thought that was a nice nod. But for Steph to get these two games in which he was Curry the closer, Chef Curry the closer, that's huge. But also I think it's terrific for the rest of us who love to see Steph play that brand of basketball. Now in the fourth quarter, Victor Wembanyama, Wemby sparks a rally. He was great. He was versatile. He shot threes. He went up and down the court. He not only drove to the hoop, but he also was rebounding at one of his offensive putbacks. Brought France within three minutes to go. And that is when we see Clutch Curry the closer. Wait, I got more. Clutch Curry the closing. No, let's see. How would I rearrange? Chef Curry the clutch closer. There we go. Manny is not as big a fan of alliteration as I am.
I'm a huge alliteration guy over here.
I love alliteration.
Love alliteration.
It's my favorite literary tool.
Yeah, it's one of my favorites as well. Yeah. Yes. Thank you, 10th grade English.
And so with those final 3 minutes, what you get are four triples from Steph. Buzzer beaters, step backs. He's got handle. He's taken on a double team. And his last one is a heave off of his left foot as he's falling backward. But because it goes in, we get the night-night slash good-night celebration. I mean, we got the shimmy. We got him chewing on his mouth guard. I mean, he was feeling it.
Did you see his t-shirt? It said night-night in French.
That's awesome. And then the celebration, they get back to the hotel. There's cigars. They're whooping. They're hollering. Steph owned this in the last two games. And so for that, I'm happy that he got his moment. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Yeah, one more from Steph in his conversation with Mike Tirico in the wake of him winning gold, but also having that barrage in the fourth quarter.
It's just get to your spot and just be under control. I think you've taken those type of shots countless times in the gym, and you have a rhythm. It's just being decisive. We had turnovers because we weren't decisive in what we were trying to do. But I knew if I got to my spot and I could knock, you know, get a good release on it, I'd be able to knock it down. You live with the results. There's a lot of faith in it. You just let it go and you live with the results. And thankfully, the work took over.
In the gold medal game, 24 points, 8 triples, 5 assists for Chef Curry. And what he says is the rhythm, the avalanche came. This was awesome to watch. One of maybe top two, maybe even the top. I don't know, though. There are a lot of obscure athletes that pulled off shockers in Paris, which was amazing to see as well. But for Steph to shine on that stage, so good for the game, so good for Team USA. As I say, he's an ambassador because people love what he brings to the court. The women as well. So between the men and the women, now a streak that is never to be broken. You know, records are made to be broken. But I just think this is the USA sport and the USA record. Five in a row for the men. Gold medals. You get a gold medal and you get a gold medal and you get a gold medal. Oprah wishes. And then eight of the last nine. For the women, it's eight in a row. And theirs was on Sunday. Completely different. It was a dog fight, a rock fight. It was not that I want to be calling the women dogs. That's not where I was going with that. Do not take that and run with it.
I'm not cutting that.
You're not cutting that. No, it was a rock fight of a game. It was some rough offense. The good, the bad, the ugly was on display for the American women, but it was still a win. And it was a great battle with France. So we got to see both teams get pushed to the brink, which I really appreciated. That made it more enjoyable. Online at A-Law Radio and our Facebook page as well. We're asking you if you can possibly narrow down your top three or five Olympic moments. It's not easy. I'm struggling with it. There were so many. Starting with Celine Dion, maybe even ending with Tom Cruise jumping off the stadium, hightailing it through the streets of Paris on his motorcycle with the Olympic flag, and then driving that motorcycle into a C-130, flying across the ocean, jumping out of a plane, skydiving over LA, only to land and officially coronate the beginning of the LA clock. So LA is on the clock. I mean, if it's Tom Cruise in a Mission Impossible style display, a performance, you know it's big. LA's going all out. And yeah, before Tom Brady was calling a preseason game on Fox Sunday afternoon, he was taking photos with Team USA. He and his daughter were watching Simone Biles in Paris. So this was a games with a ton of star power. A who's who, if you will. LA's going to be bigger. It's going to be bigger. 4 years. I want to be there. I feel like in 4 years, I should be able to somehow navigate. I've never been to a games in person. And while it'd be fun to go overseas, I still think it'll be cooler to see them here in the United States. Good morning to you. Hope you had a great weekend. One of the last of summer. Oh, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Once in love with Amy. Always in love with Amy. Ever and ever fascinated by her. Set your heart on fire to stay.
You're listening to Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
An older gentleman who listened to the show probably 10 plus years ago called up one night and started singing that song. And I had never heard it. I did not know the song. Now, though, it is one of my favorite songs. I'd always heard people sing the other real popular Amy song. Amy, what you wanna do? That one. But this was my favorite one. Thank you, Manny. That was a nice boost on a Monday morning, especially after I have started to lose my mojo talking about Chef Courier. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Love to hear from you about the Olympics. I was jazzed up to see both the men and the women's teams push to the brink. And I do love the fact that the NBA and the WNBA have players spread out throughout these international squads, which means the level of play is ascending around the world. Now, are the rest of the nations out there able to compete with the depth of talent for either the men or the women? No. But what did we see in women's basketball after UConn dominated for so many years? Well, if you want to compete, you're going to have to raise the level of play. And that's happening. Now, not as fast when it comes to U.S. women's basketball and U.S. women's soccer, but it is happening to the point where we're getting good games when you get to these Final Four. And not only did we see the men have to rally past Serbia and then go toe-to-toe with France, we also saw the women in what was an ugly defensive battle. It was physical. It was tough. On Sunday, U.S. women versus France, and a real low-scoring affair. In fact, the French defense harassed the Americans into a bunch of turnovers. The first quarter and a half, 11 turnovers. They had more turnovers than points for a good junction, or for a good stretch of that stretch. That sounded dumb. For a good portion of that stretch. Right, it was 15-9 after the first quarter. It was tied at 25 at halftime. And I tell you this only because I want you to understand that points were at a premium. They were hard to come by.
Not ideal, right?
France pulls ahead on the strength of its three-point shooting and the fact that the Americans couldn't hit the broadside of a barn from beyond the arc, other than Kelsey Plum, who had a couple, but that was it. So France is ahead by 10 midway through the third quarter, but they're fighting, scratching, clawing. And like I said, with the men against Serbia, it brought out the best in them. With the women against France, finally bringing out the best of them. Now, they went back and forth with Nigeria, but that still turned into double-figure win. This was a battle all the way through. It was a one-point lead for the United States with 5 seconds to go. Kalia Copper hit a couple of free throws, and then Gabby Williams for France, former WNBA player, hits a buzzer beater, but her foot is on the line. And so it's not a three, it's a two. And for that reason, they do not play into overtime. But yeah, this one was not easy. And Cheryl Reeve, she kind of looks back at those final 5 minutes of the game and points out that, yeah, you really got to see what our squad and what our staff is made of.
We talked about things to be prepared for, but if you look at the last 5 minutes, I think we found our footing. We had a group that obviously got the lead back after being down 10, and then we got to the last 5 minutes, and we just were saying, you know, our defense is what's carried us to be able to get those stops and you know, Ka, you know, executing, you know, an out of timeout and getting a layup and getting us a lead, and we had to hang on. I mean, our mindset was, you know, hey, we're here. Let's win it.
Yeah, might as well. We're here. 8 straight gold medals for the U.S. women's basketball team. And yeah, Kalia Cooper was terrific. She was all over the place. Part of the reason why the United States is able to match China in terms of number of gold medals. 5 more on Sunday. But the gold coming for the U.S. in both women's soccer and in women's basketball. Diana Taurasi did not play in this game, but she still collects the gold medal. She was out there in different stretches, different phases for this Olympic run, but she didn't play in this game. She ends up with another gold medal, which is crazy. She's got 6, most ever for a basketball player. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Asia Wilson, awesome in this one. She had another 20-point double-double and really, as one of the best players on the planet and one of the best players in the WNBA, you could see that. But she was frustrated in the first half. And so for her, the second half was also a chance to figure it out and to have that gold medal mentality.
You kind of got to roll with the punches at the end of the day, play through contact. So I stopped feeling bad for myself, and I wanted to go after it. And that's what I kept doing. My teammates kept giving me the basketball. And then from there, I was like, hey, we just got to make shots from here. And they started to fall, and our defense really started to pick up. And I started fueling myself through that. So it was a good – once I started fueling myself off of the defensive end, it just kind of all kind of went perfectly from there.
21 points, 13 rebounds, 4 block shots. Another – for Asia Wilson. Another poignant moment, too, if you didn't see it. Kobe Bryant's family was courtside, and they're really tight with Sabrina Ionescu. In fact, Kobe and Sabrina were friends, and he was supporting her and her Oregon teammates when she was still in college. If you don't remember, she spoke at his memorial service. And so the second that the buzzer had sounded, she races across the court and finds Vanessa and finds Kobe's daughters and has a big group hug with them. And then I did see, actually, as part of NBC kind of transitioning from Paris Olympics to LA, there was, and not live, but there was a sit-down interview that had been conducted with Vanessa. You know, she's been private for the most part since Kobe passed away, other than, you know, the ceremonies to unveil his statues and some of the others that are meant to memorialize him. She did this interview with NBC, and while I couldn't hear it, I do want to go back and listen to it. There were a lot of Kobe moments that were interwoven, kind of the idea that now the Olympics are coming to L.A. Kobe loved the Olympics. I can imagine that there's a way that they're going to make sure that he's honored, make sure that he's remembered, especially if you've got Olympic basketball taking place at what is the former Staples Center, right? The home of the Lakers and the Clippers, obviously. So congratulations to Team USA. Awesome show in Paris. But more than that, big picture, the way that these games induce so much excitement and spirit and people having national pride. That's something that, at least in the United States, there are times where I feel like it's waning. But sports have the power to heal. They have the power to unify. They have the power to bring us together across and around all of the other obstacles and barriers that so often separate us. And I felt like it was very prominent, that spirit very prominent over the past couple of weeks. So I think bravo Paris and LA, it's our turn. You are on the clock. There is one controversy still left, though, from the gymnastics arena, which is a bit of a bummer. So we'll kind of let you know where that stands coming up. Also, Jerry Jones, speaking of controversy, when does he not? Jerry Jones is attempting to clarify or maybe backpedal off of his statement that there is no sense of urgency when it comes to CeeDee Lamb. Give me some oxygen. You'll hear it from him coming up. He was on the Dallas Cowboys pregame show, and yeah, he misses CD. I bet he does. 855-212-4227 at A-Law Radio, and then our Facebook page as well. Good morning. It's Monday. Night-night. I'm seeing Steph. Night-night. No, don't go back to night-night. That's not what you do on a Monday morning. Here's our latest sports update, and here's Peter Schwartz.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Second and 11, Prescott in the gun. They blitz. Elliott picks that up. Deep ball by Prescott. Man all alone at the goal line. CeeDee Lamb! 43 yards, a touchdown, and a touchdown dance.
Here's Amy Lawrence.
CeeDee Lamb's rookie season on the Cowboys Radio Network. That was a find from the archives by Manny. Crazy enough, it sounded loud there, though there were still limited fans, right, late in 2020? Unless, was it pumped in audio? Oh my gosh, I forgot about the fake audio on the TV. So in 2020, in late 2020, there weren't any fans still. I was thinking it was by the time they got to the Super Bowl of that season, there were some fans in some places. But that was the whole controversy over the fake TV cheering. Oh, my gosh.
4 years now, Amy.
I know. Four and a half, actually, if you consider that it happened, everything shut down in March. Wowzers. Okay, let's not go back there.
Sure.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. That's how CeeDee Lamb started. How it started, how it's going? Well, how it started and how it went. It's been incredible to see CeeDee grow along with Dak Prescott. And now, heading into this final year of his rookie deal, wants a new contract. Holding out for a new contract. Of course, that's the top question for Jerry Jones every time there are microphones in front of his face. Now, you may remember we played the audio last week and earlier on the show. He was asked by a reporter about a sense of urgency, and his response was no. He kind of laughs. He's asked why. He doesn't really have an answer. He went to Costco. He went to Nobu. He went to, I don't know, what did he say? I was in
college. I thought he went to college.
Yeah, he just was making all kinds of goofy stuff up after he stuttered, of course.
Don't be ridiculous.
And then repeats it. No, there's no sense of urgency. Well, that hits the interwebs, as you can imagine. CeeDee responds with LOL.
Don't be stupid.
I kind of feel like that LOL had to be a bit snarky, not as he's really laughing out loud. He's not actually laughing that loud. Of course, if you don't laugh, you'll cry. As the Cowboys get on the field at SoFi this weekend for their first preseason game, no Dak Prescott, not because he's holding out, that would be a story. No, instead, it's because Jerry Jones is doing an interview on the pregame show, and he gets asked about it. He takes 60 seconds. He just wants the world to know he was misunderstood.
I think I got in trouble a little the other day when I said, look, we're not urgent about CD. Well, no one appreciates CD being on the field any more than I do. But let me say this. He wouldn't be taking a snap out here today if he'd been here for a while. You've got to use your head when you expose key players. That gives the other younger players a chance to do it. We know exactly what CD can do, and he's worked out with Dak. And so we wouldn't have him out here. It has really not anything to do with his contract. Dak won't be out here this afternoon. And so the bottom line is, what it is no, there's not that urgency. Now, I understand completely the angst that's happening when you're anxious about and someone says anything about whether you're missed or not. Well, CD, you're missed, okay? But you're not missed out here competing, and it doesn't put any pressure anyplace on us.
Are you buying it? He says, there's no urgency because he wasn't going to play this weekend anyway.
Get me some oxygen.
I wonder if he was thinking, or maybe if it would have helped with his clarification / backpedaling, if he had mentioned, you know, Brett Favre, he didn't go to training camp. I mean, there are a lot of veterans who would prefer not to be in training camp, let's be honest.
Got a Jack.
But that is not why CD isn't with the Cowboys. And while I do think he comes up with a plausible explanation / excuse, I still don't think it mitigates. I don't think damage, that might be too strong of a word. When it got to CD, and when CD heard it / saw it, it still makes you feel like poo. There's no sense of urgency. I mean, that doesn't help your negotiations when you try to convince an athlete that he's important to what you want to do. Now, Jerry Jones's want to put his foot in his mouth, that's fairly standard. I hope this moves things over, but you know what will really smooth them over? A new contract with a lot of guaranteed money. It's not rocket science.
What a concept, Amy.
What a concept. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Okay, I have to read you something. Sarcasm is my love language. Well, my husband would say it's food more than sarcasm, but those are definitely the top two. Okay. So there is a Twix account that's called Fact. That's all it is. At Fact. Interesting facts about life. And it's got a lot of followers.
That's a fact.
See what I mean? About 3.5 million followers.
Oh.
Late on Sunday, this is the tweet from Fact. At Fact. Why didn't I think of that? At Facts. That would have been a great one. I wonder if that one's still available. Facts. Being able to instantly respond with sarcasm within seconds of a stupid question is a sign of a smart and healthy brain.
Don't be ridiculous.
Do you think that's fact?
That's a fact.
Thank you, Jerry. I need more validation than yours, though.
Get me some oxygen.
Being able to instantly respond with sarcasm within seconds of a stupid question is a sign of a smart and healthy brain. Do you know there are times interacting with my friends and family where I have to zip it because my sarcasm comes so quickly? It doesn't always play well. Mixed company doesn't always play well. I got to be careful. I don't want people to feel bad.
So that means, I'm not doubting your intelligence.
Smart,
I think,
and healthy brain.
Yeah, I mean, you got it, apparently. According to Fact, you got it.
According to Fact. It's also funny to say. According to Fact, not facts, but according to the fact.
The actual singular fact. Not plural.
There's just one fact.
That would have been even better if his account was just one fact and that's it. Just leave it dormant.
Just this one fact. It's all you need to know. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Again, 855-212-4227. We didn't even get to all the football. We enjoyed discussing the confusion around the safety in the Jaguars and Chiefs game. And we'll definitely get to some more of the rookie quarterbacks kind of making their debuts. Awesome to see Joe Burrow back on the field. I hesitate to get all excited because people will shout at me about how it's preseason. But it is some fake football. There were a couple of injuries that are serious. So, yeah, we'll kind of follow up on those as we head through this week. Bo Nix played well. Is anybody in Colorado excited about how Bo Nix could be the next Peyton Manning? Okay, maybe that's taking it too far. How about just the replacement and the next franchise quarterback? It's been a revolving door since Peyton Manning retired after Super Bowl 50. After Super Bowl 50. Something to watch for this week. Aaron Judge is about to hit his 300th home run. So we talked about this earlier too. It blows me away. He went from 25 to 42 home runs in about the blink of an eye. And now he's sitting on 42. Forget the American League record from a couple years ago. That may be in jeopardy. But how about the fact that he is now just one dinger shy of 300?
As I've told you guys a lot, sometimes I take him for granted, you know, his greatness. Every now and then, though, I try to remind myself what I'm getting to watch over there every day with what he's been able to do and just the player and the hitter that he's become. It is remarkable.
Yeah, he is right now second place in the American League in batting average, first place in the other two categories that form the Triple Crown. So not only, this is just my opinion, we don't give out MVPs in August, but right now a front runner, like way out there for the American League MVP and could actually win a Triple Crown. Yankees right now tied with the Orioles for best record in Major League Baseball. So there's that. Also, the U.S. Olympic Committee is responding to the Court of Arbitration for Sport that is trying to take away Jordan Chiles' bronze medal, claiming that the United States did not appeal quickly enough at the Olympic Games. We'll have to follow that story as well, because that's kind of crappy. Have a great Monday, not a crappy one. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Boom!